Amen. Let's open our Bibles together, please. And we open our Bibles in the book of Genesis in the chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. We've had the opportunity and the blessing of opening the Word of God in the book of Philippians and the chapter 4. We finished in chapter 4, but all of the chapters there in Philippians. And I believe that God blessed us there, but we turn to this passage of God's Word this morning in the book of Genesis and the chapter 37. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that his father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. He said unto them, "Hear, I pray thee, this dream which I have dreamed. And behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said unto him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. We'll end our reading there, and God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come around thy word afresh this morning, and we ask of thee that thou wilt make thy word a blessing to our hearts. We pray that thou wilt speak to our hearts. I pray that thou wilt speak to mine. Help me, our God, to know the power of thy Holy Spirit. And as I have studied thy word, I pray that thou wilt help me to preach it. Help me, our God, to know the enablement of the blessed third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Ghost. And I pray that this day that thou wilt, our God, search out our hearts, that thou wilt speak personally to us, and that thou wilt challenge us through thy precious and thy holy word. And so to this end, O God, I trust thee now for power, for thy power it shall not fail. For the words that thou this day shall give me shall and must prevail. For I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I pray that God will take of his word today and write it upon each and every one of our hearts. And as we open the scriptures, that God will speak to us. It's amazing whenever a person can say to you, as the lady said on Friday evening, "I felt there was nobody else in the meeting but me. I felt that you were speaking simply to me, that you knew me and you knew all about me, and that you were just directly speaking to me." I said, that has nothing to do with a preacher. That's the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God does speak directly to us individually. And I pray that each individual heart will be touched as we come to study God's Word this morning. Now, I have been praying and asking the Lord to guide us into what territory we should go after we finish the book of Philippians. And the Lord has directed me to this man called Joseph that is found in God's precious word. And I know that as a child, and away in childhood days, and even in my adult days to this day, the story of Joseph has a timeless appeal. And I believe that the Spirit of God has much to teach us through the life of Joseph himself. Now, this part of the scripture speaks of real living, just as it speaks of real life today. Although it's some 4,000 years ago, it is real today. And I believe that we have here the story of a young man. And I pray that God will indeed make the young men of this congregation and the young women like the character of this young man that we find in God's precious and God's holy word. Now, I know that when you come to study the story of Joseph, it is an inspiring story. It's an instructive one. And if you want to really get into the story of what is said in the scriptures concerning Joseph and his life, you'll find that it commences at chapter 37 of the book of Genesis, right to the end of that book. We find that it starts, it says there in verse number 2 of chapter 37, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And so the story of Joseph, as regards his own personal story, commences chapter 37 when Joseph was 17 years of age. Joseph was raised as the future heir of the patriarch, the wealthy patriarch Jacob. And yet he fell into slavery. And he went into slavery in a far distant Gentile land. However, God preserved him, and he rose to prominence in that land, being the second in command to the very mighty Pharaoh in Egypt itself. But you know, Joseph was like everyone else in our lives. The Word of God says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Word of God says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And whenever you read the story of Joseph, you will find that Joseph experienced many difficult things in his life. Misunderstandings, dangers. He knew what it was to be in the royal palace, but he also knew what it was to be in the prison house. And therefore, his life was a varied life. It was a life of different circumstances, like what Paul said, I know how to abound. But he also said, I know how to be abased. And whenever you look at the story of Joseph, friend, you'll find that Joseph was loved, but also Joseph was hated. You'll find that Joseph was favored. And yet you'll find that Joseph also was abused. You'll find that Joseph was tempted. But you'll also find that Joseph triumphed. He was a man that was exalted, but he also experienced what it was to be abased. And yet what we find in the story of Joseph is this, that as you look over the man as he lived these long years, there is nothing recorded in the Word of God that ever tells us that in the long years that God gave Joseph, that he ever took his eyes off the Lord. And that is an amazing thing. No matter what his circumstances were, no matter how deep his trial was, no matter how hard his journey was, there is nothing recorded in the scriptures of divine truth by the Holy Ghost that ever suggests to us that there was a time in Joseph's life when he took his eyes off the Lord. Now, Joseph knew what it was to have days of prosperity, but thank God, there is nothing in the Word of God that tells me that Joseph's prosperity ever ruined his character. And friend, the tragedy is this, that sometimes when people get prosperous, it ruins their character, they lose themselves. And my, it was the saddest and worst day in their lives that ever that they were prospered. And they become arrogant and they become obnoxious. And they lose themselves, never mind lose everything else. But in Joseph's prosperity, it did not ruin his character. Neither did his days of adversity. And remember, that's the other side. He had days of adversity. But I want to tell you, my friend, if the prosperity didn't ruin his character, neither did adversity. Because adversity did not embitter him. And you will not find that whenever the, as it were, the tide went out And whenever the waters of, or deep waters of trials were upon them and affliction were endured by him, we do not find that his adversity ever embittered him. And friend, let me tell you, that's another thing that happens to people. That because whenever the tide goes out, it embitters them. Whenever they're faced with trials and troubles, they can't face it and they can't take it. And they get angry both with man and they get angry with God. And that's a sad thing, and it ruins many a person. And the wonderful thing about Joseph is this, that Joseph was the same man in private as he was in public. And he was the same man in public as he was in private. It is a story of an amazing young man, which we find commences in its fullness at 17 years of age. And he was an amazing young man who was faithful to God, and he never failed to trust the Lord. You say, was that the commencement of Joseph in chapter 37? I want us to look at the background of Joseph for a moment this morning, because before we go into his life, we've got to see the things that happened to Joseph that made him the person he was. And what I find is this, when I study Joseph, is this, that there are four things, there are four passages of God's word or instances in God's word before we come to chapter 37 that draws our attention to this young man, Joseph, and in each of these occasions, it emphasizes his sonship, who he was, and he never forgot who he was. In his early days, until the Holy Ghost gives us his own story, starting at chapter 37. I want us, therefore, to look at the things, that the experiences that Joseph met up until chapter 37, that perhaps you don't capture yourself. First of all, you first meet Joseph, turn back to chapter 30 of the book of Genesis. And that is the first mention of Joseph in this passage of God's word. It says in verse number 22 of Genesis chapter 30. It says, and God remembered Rachel. And God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go in unto my own place and to my country. And so we find the first mention of Joseph was at his birth. Now, let me give you the picture here. If you go to chapter 29 of the book of Genesis, in verse number 31, it says, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. And then says this, but Rachel was barren. Genesis 29, verse 31. And so we find that his mother, Rachel, before she became his mother, the Holy Spirit says this, that Rachel was barren. Now, those who know the story, and if you don't, then read it for yourself. We haven't time to go back into it, but to give this little picture. Rachel was one that Jacob loved with all his heart. Do you remember he went to Laban and he served Laban for Rachel because he loved her, and he served Laban 7 years. Laban would become his father-in-law. He also was his uncle. And we find that as he serves Laban for the hand of Rachel, came to the end of the 7 years, and he was to take Rachel to be his wife. But Laban deceived him. Laban deceived Jacob. And instead of giving him the hand of Rachel, He gave him the hand to an older sister, Leah, whom Jacob did not love. But he had to take her, therefore, to be his wife. Now, the Word of God tells me that indeed that Rachel was loved. Again, go back to Genesis 29, verse 30. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. He had to serve Laban, his father-in-law, another 7 years for the hand of Rachel. But he loved her. He loved her. The Bible tells us that Jacob had 12 sons, and he had one daughter. But the Word of God tells us that Leah bore unto Jacob 6 sons and 1 daughter. She bore him Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun. Those were the 6 sons that God gave to Jacob and to Leah. She also had the daughter Dinah. Leah's handmaid then was given when she was bearing no children. She gave unto her handmaid, Zilpah, and she bore him 2 sons, Gad and Asher. Because of this, and Rachel was still barren, she gave unto her husband, the one she loved, unto Jacob, her handmaid. And one day she cried unto Jacob, and she said, Jacob, give me children or I die. Give me children or else I die. You'll find that verse 1, chapter 30. She really wanted a child. And every time she looked at all these children of Leah, the 6 sons and the 1 daughter, and she looked upon the handmaid of Leah, those 2 boys, her heart was breaking. She was crying out. She says, give me sons. Now, Jacob was angry with Rachel. He was angry with her, and he says, am I not better than any son? Are you not happy with me? But friend, her heart was longing for this, for a child. So what did Rachel do? She gave her handmaid to Jacob, Bilhah. And Bilhah bore Jacob 2 sons, Dan and Naphtali. So now we find that there are 10 sons. And Rachel is none. And her heart is breaking. And then the Word of God says in verse 22, chapter 30, God remembered Rachel. In other words, God heard her cry. And God remembered Rachel. And God hearkened to her. And God opened her womb, and she conceived, and she bare a son. And her son was called Joseph. This is where Joseph comes into the story. She calls his name Joseph. And Joseph means, may he, that is God, add another son. Verse number 24 of chapter 30, and she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And friend, that desire of Rachel was fulfilled because she had another son in chapter 35, and his name was Benjamin. And you know, Rachel watched Jacob enjoy his 10 sons and his 1 daughter, and she envied that family. And she was in deep despair, and she cried out unto God, and God heard her cry. And God gave unto her a son. The psalmist says, when my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I have no doubt whatsoever that Joseph was the answer to prayer. She had prayed for many years for God to give her a child, and she was barren. And she cries unto God. And Joseph becomes the son of Jacob's old age. And Jacob loved him. says Jacob loved him more than any of his brethren. Of course, that, of course, is where trouble comes into the family too. Why did you love him? Or why did he love him? Because, I believe, before God, he was a miracle child. Because he was given. He was given of God. He was given of God an answer to prayer after many years that were passed. Like Hannah, for this child, I pray. And that's the first mention of Joseph. It was at his birth. Then you turn to chapter 33 of the book of Genesis. And when you come to chapter 33 of the book of Genesis, we find the second mention. It says in verse number 2, it says, "And he put the handmaids of their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost." There's a second mention of Joseph in the scriptures. Now, what's this experience? Because Joseph, my friend, is now a young lad. He's a young child. And the story is that Esau was coming. That was Jacob's brother was coming. Do you remember the story of how that Jacob had taken away the birthright of Esau, his brother? Do you remember how that Jacob had to leave home and flee? That's how he got to Laban. That's how he got to Uncle Laban, because Laban was the brother of Sarah, or Abram's wife. So we fired, rather, Jacob, Rebekah's brother. And so they make their way. And Joseph arrives with Laban. And now the years have passed, and Esau is making his way. He's approaching to where Jacob is. This is the first time they've met again. He hears that Esau has 400 men with him. And Jacob's afraid. He's afraid. And Joseph sees the fear written over his father's face. He's gripped with fear because of what could happen. And he wants to protect his children. And so he divides his offspring up. The Bible tells us that he put his handmaids and their children first. And then secondly, he divides the family up and he sends Leah and her children second. And then finally, he puts Rachel and Joseph, because Benjamin's not born. Now, why does he do that? Because you see, my friend, Jacob is afraid that Esau could kill his family. And so Jacob divides his family, and he desires to protect most of all the son of his old age. If anyone has to die, he's wanting to protect his beloved Joseph. And so he puts Joseph right into the back of the groups that are meeting Esau. Because Jacob's prized possession was Rachel and Joseph. Now you say to me, what about the rest of the boys, friend? Let me tell you this. A father should love every one of his children. But the Holy Spirit of God records it as it is. Jacob loved Joseph more than all his brethren. The wonderful thing that speaks to you and me is this, friend. I said this last week, and I'm saying it again. Thank God there are no special children to God. Every one of us are special. In the book of Isaiah chapter 43, it tells us there, "Since thou was precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee." And child of God, this morning you can rejoice that you are loved of the Lord. You are God's special protection. And because Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his brethren, friend, he desired to protect him from Esau, Jacob's brother. You see, the last time that they had known about Esau, Esau was looking for Jacob. Esau wanted to kill Jacob because of what he did in stealing his birthright. He was angry with his brother. And he had to flee from his brother. And that was in the mind of Jacob. And when he hears Esau's coming, he naturally said, but Esau's angry. He's going to kill us. So we find that he protects his prized possession, the one that he loved the most. And it's Joseph. Now the third mention of Joseph is in the same chapter. Let's go to verse number 6. It says, then the handmaid came near, they and their children. That was came near unto Esau. Verse 4, it says, Esau ran to meet Jacob. And you know, sometimes it's not true that we cross bridges we don't have to cross before we ever come to them. Because remember, Esau, Jacob thought he was going to kill him. What happens in verse 4? Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, fell on his neck and kissed him. And wept. The two boys weep together. After these years, they're now meeting. And thank God the animosity has been taken away. The hatred has been removed from the story. And the two brothers, they fall on each other's neck. And Esau embraces Joseph, or Jacob. And falls on his neck and kisses him. And they cry together. And verse 6 says, then the handmaid came near, and they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel. And they bowed themselves. What does this say to me, you and me? Well, Esau's visit was a peaceful one. And whenever the two brothers had embraced each other, he said, what are these? What are these, Joseph? Or Jacob, what are these? He says, these are they that God has given me. These are the children God gave me. And he brings the first lot because they, the handmaidens, and he brings the first boys near. And they bow before Esau. And then they bring next Leah and her children. Yes, the six boys and the one girl, and they bow before Esau. And then they bring Joseph and Rachel. Notice Joseph was mentioned first. It says, and after came Joseph near and Rachel. And they bowed themselves. Friend, I want to show you here that this does speak to us about something, this third mention, because notice the good manners here. Notice the respect that was evident here. They bowed before Esau. And it says, Joseph came near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. That's good upbringing. That's manners. That's respect. And sad today, friend, let me tell you, that's going in our society. Respect. That's something that's missing in many homes. It's good manners. Here's an evidence of it. A lack of respect, but here there was none. Because character was built in this family. And let me tell you, you know where it starts? It starts in the home. It says, then the handmaids came near, they and their children, they bowed themselves. And then Leah with her children came near, and they bowed themselves. And after Joseph came near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. Here is a family that has been brought up with respect and manners. And I believe that that's a characteristic that should not be lost in our families, friend. Because we ought to respect our elders. And we ought to teach our children and our families manners, because I can tell you, nobody likes a cheeky child. And they might smile whenever you're around, but I can tell you, if you could only hear what they say whenever you're not around about the cheek of your child. But it says, Rachel and Joseph bowed themselves. You see, it starts at home. And let me say this to mothers and fathers in this service. Let me say, from an old man, let me tell you, friend, you have an influence upon your child. And you ought to be building character in your children, even the character of manners and respect for others. Because I can tell you, if you don't teach them in your home, the world will teach them another lesson out there. And that's the third mention of Joseph. And then the fourth mention, or the final mention of Joseph, we find in chapter 35. And when you come to chapter 35 of this passage of God's Word, and you go down to verse number 24, it simply says this: the sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin. That's all it says. And that's the fourth mention. And what that is, it's simply a list of the names or the register of the sons of Jacob. And it mentions there the sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin. Now, Benjamin is not born as yet. But it mentions them there in this passage of God's Word. And what we find is this: that the names are given in the context of grief and sorrow, because he's listed with his younger brother Benjamin, the son of Rachel, because it was Benjamin's birth that left Joseph without a mother. It was the birth of Benjamin that took away. What a sorrowful day, friend, in Joseph's life when Rachel died. And what did the death of Rachel teach Joseph? This godly young man, friend, it taught him this lesson: that godliness does not exempt anybody from trouble. Just because you love the Lord, that does not exempt you from trouble, because life will teach you many lessons, many hard lessons, many difficult lessons. He was only a child. Let me give you some of the experiences. We've mentioned those there, but Joseph was only a child whenever Jacob decided to leave Laban. He decided to go back to his father's house. But he knew that Laban would be angry. And so we find that Jacob decided to leave in haste. He didn't tell Laban that he was leaving. He was going to take Laban's two daughters with him and the children that God had given unto him, but they're going to leave without telling Laban. I'm sure whenever Joseph, because he was the youngest of the family, and daddy was saying to the boys, "Boys, we're going to go, we're going to go. But why are we leaving, daddy?" He said, "But we have to go, and we have to go quickly. But what about Granda? What about Granda Laban? Never worry about Granda Laban. We're going now. But are you not telling him?" "No, we're not telling him. We're going now." You can imagine what was going through a wee mind. What's this all about? Why is daddy doing this? Why is mommy and daddy and why is all these, why are we all being taken away so sudden? And so they haste away. And as they're hurrying away, friend, they come to a place and they settle down for the night. And then all of a sudden, Granda comes. Grant is angry. And remember, here's a little boy, Joseph, and he's trying to understand all this. Go back to chapter 31. Chapter 31. And he hears Granda saying this in verse number 29. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. He heard Granda and Daddy arguing. Granda and Daddy's fighting now. This is not a happy situation. And here's the youngest, this little boy, he's listening in. He doesn't understand what this has all been about, the sudden flight from the domineering grandfather. And he hears Granda saying to his daddy, it is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. I could hurt you. But then he hears him say this, but the God of your father spoke to me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Go down to verse 36. And Jacob was wroth, and he chode with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespasses? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? The two men's fighting. They're arguing. Imagine what that meant to that little boy. Let me ask you, parent, what do you think it means to your little child if you and mommy, daddy and mommy's fighting? And all they hear is daddy and mommy bickering and fighting with each other. Tell me, what does that do to the child? What example is that whenever they hear the shouting of daddy at mommy and mommy shouting back at daddy? There's trouble in this home. There's trouble in this family. And the two sisters, they stay out of it. Leah and Rachel, they stay out of it. But my, there's an argument on here. Verse 41 of chapter 31. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters and 6 years for thy cattle. And thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abram, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou would have sent me away now empty. God hath seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight. Go down to verse 54. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount. And he called the brethren to eat bread, and they did eat bread, and they tarried all night in the mount. And early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned unto his place. Thank God the story ended well. The fight's over. Oh, mommy and daddy, I say to you, or even families, I say to you, in God's name, if there's war going on in your home, may God settle the argument. There is no place like home whenever it's at peace. When the family's at peace, the one with the other, when mommy loves daddy and daddy loves mommy, and the family love their parents, and their parents love their children. And when they can close the door in the evening time, when all the problems of life are over, and there's a quietness, and there's a peace and a tranquility, may God bring that to all of our homes. That's what Jacob experienced with Laban. That's what Joseph listened into, argument. But thank God the argument was settled. And life's too short for arguments. May love come into our homes and families once again. But friend, that was not the only experience that Joseph faced. But again, Joseph heard Uncle Esau's coming. And whenever he heard that Uncle Esau was coming, he saw that Daddy was so distressed And he saw Daddy dividing the family up. And can you imagine the wee boy saying, "Mommy, what's going on, Mommy?" And he sends the handmaid and the sons ahead. And then he takes Leah. Jacob takes Leah and her sons, and he sends them on. And we Joseph's left with Mommy. And Daddy sends them over the brook, over the river, Jabbok. Can you imagine what's going on in the wee mind? Mommy, where's Daddy? Daddy's coming shortly, son. But where is he? Why is Daddy not with us? Daddy's coming shortly, son. And Daddy stayed behind, friend, when he sent them over the river. And Daddy stayed behind alone. What for? To pray. And I believe that Jacob prayed like he never prayed before. And he cried unto God for deliverance. And God did send them deliverance. And then the next morning came. And the wee boy opens his eyes and there he sees Daddy. But Daddy's not the same. Say, what's wrong? Because Daddy's limping. And he's coming with a limp. And can you imagine what the wee boy thought? He says, Daddy, what's wrong, Daddy? What happened? What happened to you, Daddy? He says, son, last night, the angel of the Lord wrestled with me. And he didn't stop until he broke me and brought me into submission. And he says, Joseph, Daddy's changed. Let me tell you who the angel of the Lord was, friend. That was the Lord Jesus. It's one of the Old Testament appearances of Christ. And the Lord came that night, and the Lord changed him. And you know, Jacob meant twister. But that night, God says, you're not a twister anymore. God says, I'm giving you a new name. God says, from this moment on, you are Israel. You are a prince with God. Tell me, Daddy, have you been changed? Has there been a moment in your life when your family knew that Daddy was changed by the power of God that night when their Daddy got saved and they became a new creature in Christ Jesus? And thank God, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And I've often said, I'll never forget the night that God saved my Daddy, because, friend, let me tell you, I got a new Daddy the next day. Or that night, and it was seen the next day before our eyes, he was different. What a blessing! What a blessing when God breaks us, when God brings us into the mill of conviction and brings us to his feet, when we cry out, oh God, save me! And you get gloriously and wonderfully saved. He never walked the same again from that night onward. Thank God the twister was over. He became a prince with God. And I can tell you, Joseph never forgot that night. He never forgot that night wondering where Daddy was, waiting for Daddy to come. He never forgot the next morning as it broke. And Daddy came limping in. And Daddy was changed. I believe that day, friend, or that morning, God became real to Joseph. God became real to Joseph. He knew that God's power was mighty. And Daddy had been fearing to meet Esau. But now, friend, he makes his way to go to Esau. And God undertakes. And instead of war, instead of battles, instead of arguments with his brother, they throw their arms around each other and embrace. And Joseph knows God answers prayer. I've got to finish this morning, time's away. But you know what Jacob did after that, friend? He took his family to Bethel. He took his family to Bethel. That was the place where God met him. And he says, you've got to get rid of the idols. Do you remember Rachel had stolen the idols from Laban? That's why Laban got angry. He said, not only have you taken the daughters, you've taken the gods. Rachel didn't tell Jacob she had done that. She hid them in her stuff. And Jacob says, you've got to get rid of the idols. I'm going to raise an altar unto the Lord. And Jacob takes his boys back to Bethel. And here's, I see we Joseph stand there. You know what Daddy tells him? He said, son, I was running from your uncle Esau. I had been a deceiver, but now I'm changed. And here, lying in the loneliness of this spot, you see this spot here? I vowed, God, you bring me back, thou wilt be my God, and I'll serve you. Do you know what happened here, son? A ladder came from heaven. And the angels were ascending and descending. And there at the top of the ladder was the Lord. And God spoke to me that night. Here, Daddy? Yes, this is a spot. It was here. Mom and Dad, can you look back and can you tell your children of that night when you could see it? When God spoke to your heart, when God broke your heart, when God revealed himself to you in a very mighty way and you repented of your sin. And if you haven't, then in God's name today, may this be the spot, may this be the place. May you be able to say to your children and your grandchildren, listen, here in the spot in this church, I called on the Lord to save me. And thank God I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. What a joy to be able to do that. Friend, these were all the experiences that were molding the life of Joseph before he ever got to 17. Your child has been brought up, parent. And you're molding the life of your child. Tell me, what is your home? What is your life? What is your influence telling your children? May God grant that it'll tell them of a daddy that's saved, of a mommy that's born again, of a God who hears and answers prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the word this morning. We realize the influences in Joseph's life and his home. Please, God, help us in our homes to live Christ. Take away all the misunderstandings. And help us to deal according to thy word with the problems we face. Help us to live as godly parents, to raise our children to the glory of thy name. And for those that are not saved today, both parents, grandparents, and children, save them and save them now. for Jesus' sake. Amen.